Let's do a podcast.
Let's
do a podcast.
Podcast.
Let's do a podcast about Charlotte. Let's do a podcast.
Podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Podcast.
Let's do a podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the latest episode of the Charlotte Podcast. This is John.
And this is Miller, and this is episode 248. John?
Yeah?
We're going to do your favorite thing. Right now, we're in person. We can see each other. We're across the room from each other.
Yeah.
But we're excited. Happy New Year.
Yeah, we're in person, which means we're like, you know, something that I've enjoyed somewhat morbidly about the coronavirus era has been those like graphics that show like the spray of particles. We're in person, so we're both just like, I'm shooting blue dots at you and you're shooting red dots at me. That's how I picture every in-person interaction.
I was talking to someone, I was like, yeah, like that's really one good thing that's come from the coronavirus. I was like, wait, never mind, like that's not like, that's like something that's a part of it that's actually like good for me, like,
right?
I spend more time with my child,
right?
But, like, that's not something good caused by the coronavirus.
Yeah. Right.
I want to be very clear. They're not really good things.
It behooves all of us to choose our words carefully.
Yes.
I would say.
Yes. I was not on the record then, and then I decided to say it into a podcast. Into a microphone.
Smart to bring it up now. Well, anyway, we're in person. I'm very excited.
This is
always better.
This is the 2020. Welcome to 2020 year part three, I would like to say, because I feel like we're going to have another 2020 in front of us in terms of years.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we just hit
pause.
That's
what we're causing this episode.
That's
Welcome
right.
to 2020
this
part
is,
three.
This is really only our like 203rd episode, because you can just skip all the Zoom ones.
Rudy Gobert got, unfortunately, and hope he's doing well, was positive for COVID.
Oh,
and
really? Oh,
people are doing all like the Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Groundhog's Day, Time is a Flat Circle. Like all those memes came out.
Yeah.
It was perfect. Well, Johnny, what is on this week's episode?
So this week, you had a big event that I think was became the focus of all of Charlotte. The Duke's Mayo Bowl was a couple weeks ago that you're intimately involved in. And there was a particular thing that captured, dare I say, captured the nation's eyeballs, which was the Mayo Dump.
It was.
So I would love to dig deep. This was actually all of the best ideas and things I bring to the podcast come from my wife, and she was like asking me all these questions. We were getting ready to watch the Mayo Dump, and she was like, you guys need to do a podcast because I have a lot of questions.
Do you think she'll actually listen to this episode?
Maybe. She'll get tired of us. She'll get tired of hearing my voice and then turn it off. But yeah, she might consider tuning in.
I can tell you one person does not is my wife, Brittany, but she has heard this story way too many times. She lived it.
So what we're going to get into is kind of the behind the scenes of the Mayo Bowl and the Mayo Dump this year.
I'm going to try to tell the story, and you're going to interrupt and ask questions. And
yes.
You're going to do your interview style.
That's right.
Perfect. And then also, I think we're going to try to bet on the 2022 Charlotte Teams of the Year.
That's right.
We have three each, and we're going to say why we think they will be.
Okay.
And then we're going to revisit this, and if we get any of them right, it'll be ridiculous.
Yeah, that's a huge...
But I think this is actually a fun game.
That's a huge W. Yeah, yeah. I'll have to write... I'll tune you out and write down some of mine as we go through.
Are we doing cheers and jeers?
Yeah, sure, let's do it.
Perfect. I don't have any.
great.
Jeers, prepping for this podcast.
Yeah,
we do not do
exactly.
A good job. But if you do listen to us on any podcasting platform, rate us, review us, do all that stuff. Follow us on social media, even though John has given up on Twitter lately. We're on Twitter. We probably should be on Instagram more. We're on Facebook. No, we're not really on Facebook. All that stuff. And you can also follow us on our own personal social media, which is at the Charlie Walk and at Miller Yoho.
Correct.
Look at all that plugging I just did.
Yeah, great job.
So, Mayo Bowl.
Yes.
All right, I'm going to try.
Wait, so let me set the stage a little bit more. So
I was going to set the stage first.
Oh, okay, fine.
Let me try setting and then you go.
Okay.
So I think we've referred to it, but my day job is Director of Communications and Marketing for the Charlotte Sports Foundation.
Yes.
I previously held this role from 14 to 16, but have also worked for the agency.
2014 to 2016.
2014.
Not the ages of 14 to 16.
Yes. That would not have been good. But from 2014 to 2016, I was full-time for them. And then I worked for the agency. I did my own thing. And then I worked for the actual video production company, all the while managing social media, and then came back in June 1st. So been a part of this since 2014 when it was the Belk Bowl, Belk College Kickoff. Came back in June 1st, did the, my role is social media marketing. I work with a great company called Bespoke, work for with Luke Wire, who I used to work with, who does a lot of our marketing. And then just kind of manage PR, all that stuff. I have a great partner in Frank K, who won't ever listen to this, who does like press box, but really anything external from the Charlotte Sports Foundation, like you see, is something I've worked on or someone I'm working with is. So that's kind of a good way to frame my job. And Charlotte Sports Foundation is the organization that holds large sporting events in Charlotte. Like right. They own the bowl game. A lot of people think like Dukes is. No, it's Charlotte Sports Foundation owns the game. And this is actually the 20th year of the game in operation.
Right.
So that's what I do. And I there's a lot of different things that went into it.
So
now
so
you go. Did I set it the way you wanted
it? Yeah, that's good. No, that's good. So from like October, middle of October on, like it's obviously a year-round thing, but like from middle of October on, kind of when it becomes apparent like which teams are going to be bowl eligible, you're kind of like seeing the list get narrowed down of the teams that'll participate and probably like locking in events. I know they go to the Speedway and there's an event there, and then there's typically in a typical year there's kind of some sort of charitable thing that everybody does. So there's like, it's not just the game that the schools participate in, there's other ancillary events, right?
Yeah, and this year, so we had the two kickoff games, which were Duke's Mayo Classic, which was ECU and App, and Georgia Clemson, which was quite a doozy of a game.
Yeah.
So we came out of that, we had to catch our breath and start planning for this.
Right.
Which even next year we're adding in another basketball, the Jumpman Invitational in between those things. So it's getting busier and busier for us.
Right.
But a lot of people think like the teams are selected well ahead of time. We did not know. Like, I think we had thought UNC the week before, but we did not know. Like, South Carolina was on a list of teams. There's probably 2-3 teams on that list, and it was working through it on Selection Sunday. So that's like, we began to see that. And then I would say, even going back further, I say like the Mayo Dump's been 14 months in working on, because we wanted to do it last year.
Okay.
And if people remember, go ahead,
put a pin in Mayo Dump specifically. Pinned. Cause I want to, once we set the context of the bowl game, I want to go back. So, I want full origin story of that.
So December 6th, which is always the first Sunday, is called Selection Sunday in December.
Yeah.
We have the ACC Championship game on Saturday night. Then the next day we select. Usually we figure out the teams like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock. We select. We had the idea of about 2 o'clock was put out a video saying we're doing the Mayo Dump for $10,000 charity, which we'll get to.
Yep.
So that began to get a ton of attention on us. And then we announced the teams. We did a lot of fun things. And then we put out like a fun video making fun of us breaking the trophy. And then from there, it's just like trying to sell tickets, all that stuff. Also, we're starting to plan events, all that. And the teams usually arrive. They arrive both on Christmas night. So I think like around 6 p.m.
Right.
And that is, this year was typical. It is, you go kind of that first day, they have like a player event they did at Queen Park Social, and then they do the next day, it's at the Speedway, and then they will go to the next day, which is they did in the morning, they'd go to Second Harvest and pack like 3,000 bags for kids of food, and then go to Belk for their shopping spree and all that stuff. We obviously are in a different part of the pandemic with a very aggressive form of COVID.
Right.
That kind of, we went into, they arrived on the 25th and all of a sudden games started getting canceled. So credit to our staff. We have great leadership and they essentially said, we're doing probably the as conservative as possible. We limited people's access to field. We changed everything. Usually we have field passes, all that. No one could do that. We even limited access to teams. Like, I did not really go around teams except one outdoor event and then like one indoor event that I was like spaced purposely away.
Yeah.
Like, we let the team sit in their bubbles during that. And I would say like until like ball is kicking off, we're never like 100% sure the game is going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you like Black Swan could always happen. We all learned like something could happen. We saw with the Holiday Bowl, NC State got their game canceled.
Yeah.
Hours
beforehand. Yeah.
So like we were just like, I think I put out a tweet, and that's what people probably see the most of my work is like the Twitter account. But I put out a tweet like, the game's actually happening. And like, that was the first time my boss Will said I could tweet that.
Yeah.
So like, I did it like 1 minute before.
Nice. So touch and go.
Yeah.
Obviously tough for any live events this year.
Yeah,
so
and here's the thing. It's not like we were trying to force a game to happen. We want people to be safe, but also the game means something to Charlotte. Like having people in town is good for restaurants and hotels and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Okay, so the game happens, and there's all kinds of fun stuff that you guys are doing that you mentioned. It's a big deal for Charlotte. Let's talk about the Mayo Dump in particular.
Okay.
So take us back to conception. How did this start? Like, whose idea was this?
Yeah, I've seen people online say that it was their idea. I've seen other people. I don't know whose idea this was.
Okay.
I think it's something that's so obvious.
Yeah.
Like, dumping something
yeah.
is, like, mayonnaise is such a joke. And so, like, you put any assortment of people in a room and they're going to come up with that idea.
Yeah,
it's not
totally.
Original. So we talked about it last year and we realized the Panther Stadium was grass and it was essentially a no.
Wait. So the answer was no initially because of
the surface.
It was grass.
And then also the Panthers were playing after the game. So imagine there's a big bald spot on Bank of America.
Wait, so does mayonnaise kill grass? Is
I mean,
that
it has acid in it, I believe. It's just like you don't know. Like,
really?
So like, so you don't have this answer. Like, we can't be like, oh, it definitely
so
doesn't.
You're like, we need a year to test out if
well,
mayonnaise
the
is
stadium's
good or bad.
Turf now as well.
Yeah.
So,
okay. Well, okay.
And also,
okay.
It's like, well, what if you do it on the stage? Well, they're still going to track it across and things like that. Or
gotcha.
If you put the mayo packets.
So grass, the grass presented a problem.
Yes.
That created a lot of unknowns and complexity.
And also we were in a place with the pandemic at that time when it was much more rigid. Like there was no fans in the stands.
Oh, there
was
that's 1,500 good point.
People.
Okay,
so it was
good
just
point.
Like,
good point.
It was like a lot different things. There was no. Like,
okay.
So it was an easy, we did like, we had a bucket, we teased it, we had white Gatorade, people got mad online and then we broke the trophy
yeah,
and people
right.
kind of moved on.
Moved on. So last year's Mayo Bowl happens and
yeah.
you break the trophy and then you guys get shirts made and all of that, of mm-hmm. which I have one. When do you guys start bringing it up again? And like what time of the year in 2021 we're like. Was there an
yeah.
email that was like Mayo Dump ?
No.
That like and, circulated?
And so the people who you see like dump the actual mayonnaise, there's two people there. There's Sam and Allie, and they work for a company called Bespoke who do like the event activation. So that's kind
okay.
of their thing, and they work with Dukes to do that, and they also work with CSF. So like people eating mayonnaise in the stands at the Classic, that was
yeah.
Bespoke working on that.
Okay.
Just because we only have 8 full-time people
yeah,
on staff
sure.
to do everything. So we knew that essentially the Mayo Dump did not happen last year, and I'm sitting online seeing how mad people are, and I was like, the first thing I talked to CSF as I was on staff member, I was like, hey, this was great, you got a ton of attention, you can never lie to people again like that. Like
yeah.
one, it's kind of like a fool me once, like
yeah,
shame on you, like fool me twice, shame on me, like
yeah.
or whatever. But flip that with us being the people, like we can't do a fake out.
Yeah, right.
So said that, and then I floated the idea, and I think other people had the same idea with a charitable component, and I think we rolled that through by Dukes in early fall, and it was approved, and we started working on the stadium how to do it. So we worked through, do we do it on stage, and then we have the idea of how do you take the coach from the stage, just covered in mayonnaise, and it's still artificial turf. We don't
right.
want to ruin the turf. We still don't know what will happen.
Right.
Like that's just not a question anyone.
So there's like. Physical logistics of moving the coach.
There's
from
John. There's a 3-page document
interview.
That
really?
Details how to do a mayo dump. Like I had,
really?
I had Bespoke write a 3-page document.
Wow.
That's like, yeah.
Can that be public domain? Is that a playbook
no,
in case anybody else wants to do a?
No,
a
it
mayo
is
dump?
Not FOIA-able actually because the schools don't have it. But if it was like something we sent to the schools, like it's something so it should FOIA or something. But it was like an addendum to
like
a meeting
university.
Once. But
yeah.
like, no. It's like it's not that interesting. It's what you think it is, but it's like talk about dunk tanks. We talked all this stuff. Like obviously,
yeah.
you're working within budgets, and I will honestly say, in my head, I always saw it staged.
Okay.
And when people were like, "Oh, the players aren't going to do it. It's not going to be a big deal," or "It's people are not going to be happy. The players aren't going to do it." I disagreed with that notion just because I thought. You've seen the Fry dump, you've seen the Gatorade dump, you've seen all these other dumps where the players do it. I was like, why are we doing that? Why not switch it to something more
yeah.
our own that we can grow? My boss always says, like, and I work for a guy in a sidebar named Danny Morrison who ran the Panthers, ran TCU,
yeah.
ran Wofford, ran Southern Conference. And the fact that he trusts me, he's either really smart or really not, but I hopefully think he's really smart. He is. And he's always, how do we make ourselves distinctive? And yeah. that's what's always my thing is, all right, we can, in the stadium worked with us and did an amazing job of finding that place in that north tunnel where we could go in there. We could, there's a drain right there. We can put down tarps and it's not yeah. going to ruin the field. And we'll get into that. But I always pictured it as this thing where the coach is sitting there holding the check because that's great for Dukes.
Yeah.
And has to take it. Like in every other dump, the coach is running away. But this yeah. is the one where the coach just has to sit there. And it's the grossest one and just take it.
Yeah. It's more dunk tanky.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Than like, I wanna, I'm surprised.
And then like, what's the next step for us? Like, I already have an idea and I'm not going to say it on this because I need right. to figure it out.
Obviously, it's jump out of a blimp yeah. into a vat.
But now, like, I do want to make a throne. I want to make it like, yeah. I want to keep going absurd.
Yeah.
And I think that fits who we are. So, yeah. So we cut a video and did a really nice video. The one, it's different than the one people will see if they see like the Danny Morrison apology video. It's actually Danny sitting with like somber music and it's like almost like a CEO apology video.
Okay.
But he says, coach, the head coach who gets it dumped on. And we realized we couldn't use that video. Because if you go back, and this is, I've mentioned this to a few people, no one's really picked up on it, is, if you go back and watch the video we put out on the 6th, we said, if Dukes Mayo is dumped, we never say coach, we never say player, we never say athletic director. We left it open to whatever.
Oh, I definitely interpreted it
right. as but we would have taken it if the mascot did it. We would have taken it. Still done okay. it. But then the media picked up on it and immediately asked Shane Beamer, who said, it's mayonnaise is gross, I'll do it.
Yeah.
Which then put it in Mac quote. Brown, said, yeah. I'd be hit by a frying pan yeah. to win a game. So he said yes. Great. And so we're like, well, game on.
Yeah.
And I think they've set the precedent now.
Yeah.
So so that was kind of something no one realized about it was, it didn't ever have to be a head coach. But we wanted that controlled situation where like we didn't want players slinging it around, things like that, because if we messed it up and got stuff on the field, it never yeah. would happen again.
Right.
So it had to be that controlled thing.
Yeah.
All right. I'll take a pause and take a sip of water. What question? Other
okay.
questions?
Wait. So, okay. So you've got, you at some point the playbook has to be put together. You're working through the logistics of the field and like the location and everything.
Yes.
At any time, is anybody like, I guess the coaches or the schools, anybody's like, ew, we're not doing that? Or is everybody just like on board from the jump?
I think everyone, I think there was some selling that had to be done.
Okay.
Not to the coaches or people like that, but to help like parties understand what we were doing and how we were controlling it.
Right.
Because it's 4.5 gallons of mayonnaise. Like, and then the coach obviously wants to go see his family and stuff
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, like, if you, like, the coach disappeared for 2 minutes afterwards. He was taken to a place and cleaned off.
Right.
Like, it was like, even that was detailed. Like, the amount of towels
yeah.
and things
well,
like
it's,
that.
There's,
and
there's
Bespoke was all in charge of that. Like, essentially, right. that's a point where you look at them and they did a great job. It was like, we trust you to do it. You have to do it. Like, no mayonnaise can touch the field.
So, tell me if I'm wrong about this, but I imagine just, like, from watching sports, I've never been involved in it, but, like, there's just a lot of logistics involved with pulling it off, right? And, like, the coach's time. Because they, in a perfect world, like, they want to be with their team, especially after a win, right? But then they've got to do, like, sideline interviews. And so, like, you're basically adding another variable into, like, what's already a packed schedule and a lot of logistics, right? And so, like, you're just kind of disrupting that intentionally.
Yeah, and I think that was the important part of putting it after the trophy presentation. Mm. Because it meant it was the last thing.
Yeah.
And it goes to the TV thing,
yeah,
which I know you've had people who are frustrated that it wasn't on TV. Like, we, if you notice, there was a couple people like mentioned it in the media like the
yeah.
days before saying it was happening after the trophy ceremony.
Yeah.
And then like a couple media members the day of like leaked, it was almost like they got a like special news.
Yeah.
Like that was very purposeful. And one, it helps them to get like that exclusive, but two, it gets the message out. And then also during the broadcast, we asked
yeah.
that they, and like one, that broadcast, everything they did was not asked by us.
Yeah, I was right about to ask about that.
Mike Golic Jr., Anish Shroff, and Taylor McGregor are saints. I will ask for them to cover. I don't think we have any power to ask them, but I want them to cover every game.
So they provided their own Oreo.
And we should have Anish on the pod. He lives in Charlotte.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
I didn't know
so
that.
So he's here. Mike Golic Jr. is just, I had dinner with him and Taylor the night before, and like two of the most authentic people. Like, I was like, man, Mike is kind of like John and I, just how weird we are. And like, they told me the ideas for the Oreos and all that. And it was just like, that was them.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They, like,
well, that's good. They kind
of
got it.
In the words of TikTok, they understood the assignment.
They understood the assignment. Well, good. I was curious about that because, like, so I'll give you my perspective on the day. So, like, I was running around doing stuff, obviously.
And then I do want to get into what those 2 minutes of the mayo dump was like, because I was in a very unique spot.
Yeah, for sure. So for me personally, like, I would have loved to have gone to the game, but I was kind of going out of town for New Year's plans. And so I was actually at my in-laws, and we had timed it so that we'd be able to see kind of the second half of the game. So we stopped in there, and then I get there, and you know, I first get to their house, and I'm like, all right, I'm going to see what the score of the game is and kind of what Miller's been saying on the old social medias. So I check it out, and before I can even see anything that you had put out in particular, I'd seen people talk about the broadcast itself and, like, Mike Golic Jr. and kind of what's going on with that. And so I'd already seen some buzz, and I was like, oh, wow, like, people are talking about this. And then I saw, I don't know if it was a trending topic or somebody else mentioned that it was trending or whatever, but then people, it just seemed like Mayo Dump was kind of like talking, like, happening. And my father-in-law even was like, yeah, Mayo Dump is going to happen. So, and then there's, I'm sure there was a familiar pattern that was repeated across the Southeast, certainly in anybody watching the game, which was like, wait, are they actually going to do that? And we're like, is it actual mayo? And
like, we put out, like, on the coach, slightly watered down, like, a little bit to be able to pour out, but
right, to change the viscosity a little bit. So, like, I'm sure there's, like, a standard, like, what wound up being, like, typical questions.
It's like a flow chart of
exactly, to get to the bottom of this whole mayo dump thing. So we're all, like, watching, and, like, it was kind of funny because there's some, like, questionable decisions, like, play calling decisions by UNC made, kind of, like, running the ball when they were down, and typically they'd throw, I think, but it was, like, everybody's happy to see it just because it, like, meant, because the game was kind of, like, mostly, like, not in doubt anymore, right? So, you could see that South Carolina was going to win, and it was just a matter of, like, the clock running down. And I guess we hadn't really thought about, like, when it would happen. Like, but I kept having to be like, well, I know Miller said it was going to be after the trophy presentation. So, but I was like, but I don't know when that's going to be. But everybody's like, all right, there's only like 30 seconds left. Like, everybody gather around the TV.
Yeah, you sent me a picture a video of you.
Yeah,
on your
I sent you a video. Like, all of us, like, gathered around the TV because we were waiting. And then, like, right after I sent that, I saw that it was, like, going to be on, like, ESPN Plus or whatever the ESPN app was, right? So the game ends, and then they, like, in the broadcast booth, they wrapped it up and then, like, kicked it to the next bowl game that was happening. And then it was just, like, a mad scramble for us to, like, find the ESPN Plus app, which we were able to do because it's, like, 2021. So it's super easy to, like, just go on your phone and then, like, for us, like, cast it to the TV, right? So we're still able to watch it.
And we knew that would happen. And I know it's frustrating for people, but, like, bowls are bowls TV.
Yeah.
And, like, we can't really control it. And that's why we really started, like, we met with the producers to make sure they understood when and how it was happening.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, and so I'd skip the trophy ceremony. It's not that interesting. It's just people holding trophies.
So, okay. So I'm curious about this. So game ends, all zero, 4-0s on the clock. Shane Beamer's being interviewed on the sidelines. Where are you?
I'm in
and
the
what's your, like,
north
two,
tunnel,
next 2 minutes
which is like the Panthers that usually come out. Think that. Okay. Tunnel. I'm making sure the tarp is down. Everyone is good. I put up a rope for media, and, like, essentially I'm limiting access.
Okay.
I did not realize the amount of media we'd get. So we had, like, 50 to probably 75 credential photographers or videographers down there. And I didn't think they'd all bum rush it, but they did. and, like, we had a photographer. I saw our videographer, and I was, like, trying to grab him and bring him into, like, the place. And it was like, he got swallowed by the water. It was like a mass of people.
Yeah.
and so it was like, I was, like, pushing people back, stuff like that. And so then we got set. He's there. The mayo dump happens. He gets hit in the head, which not planned.
Yeah.
He handled it very well.
He handled it extremely well. Yeah. I thought.
and we've talked it through, and that's where I'm not going to give away, but I have ideas about next steps with that.
Yeah, just like hit him with a chair.
Rock
mankind.
Yeah, next year, you're going to lean in. Miller's going to lean into the absurdity. So the mayo happens, and I'm like, it's kind of like my whole thing when looking at it in social was like, I have to get like a 5 to 8 second clip because I know that's all people want.
Right.
Like, that's just, people are going to share that. If it's that, they're just going to put it everywhere. So right. I got that immediately, like, hunched over, pushed it out. And at that point, like, I realized I had probably like 30 to 50 people on my, like, over
your shoulders.
At that point, I was like, I do not feel great right now with where I am. Like, and I just, like, think I turned around and just started screaming, push back.
Yeah.
It was like, we're in a tunnel. And we'll definitely create a better media space next year. It was not like a fun experience right then. Then we pushed back. And at that, like, I was walking on the field and like, I'm like Frank Beamer, like randomly. And,
oh,
like,
really?
And I was like, are you looking for Shane? Like, he's getting the mayonnaise.
Yeah,
mayonnaise
he's having the
him.
Mayonnaise.
Like, he'll be like, or back. And that's all his family ears. And told him like he has the cutest family possible, Shane Beamer.
Yeah.
And I was like, and then it was just like very odd. And then I see him coming back and he's like wet from where they've like scraped off the mayonnaise.
Yeah.
But like the thing that I think I tweeted it from my account was like, my personal account was like the smell.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was fine. And I was wearing a mask and then all of a sudden it was not fine.
Yeah.
It was like very,
that's a lot of mayonnaise.
Yeah.
That's a lot of tang.
Yeah.
It's got,
well, it's twang. Duke's twang.
Twang.
Yes. All right. I think tang is another
twang.
One.
Twang. Okay.
But I think something you brought up and I'm still like grappling with, and one, there's not to bring this up to brag or anything, but there's a ton of media about it and a ton of media about my job leading up to it. But
yeah, I know you were famous.
No, it was not very enjoyable, I'll tell you that.
Oh, come on.
No, like people who work in my job, it's our job to be on this side of the camera.
Yeah, yeah.
Not but it, I didn't have, I think I understand like how big it was for the bowl, like especially the perspective of, we had 2 6-6 teams playing at 11:30 on Thursday.
Yeah.
And like hearing people be like, yeah, like all I could see was mayonnaise for like 3 hours.
Yeah.
And like, that's something I just got to figure out. How do we like quantify like how big of a deal it was and how good it was for the bowl and for Dukes as a sponsor?
Yeah. I mean, I saw people like looking forward to it too. Like they were just kind of.
I mean, I think I've said it half joking, half realistically, but I think it was the most anticipated game outside of like the college football playoff.
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I think just like the absurdity of mayo. Like I remember back even like the Poulan Weed Eater Bowl and the Weiser Lock Bowl and just like these ridiculous sponsors over the years.
I think it was
like
the PapaJohns.com Bowl, but it was at a place that couldn't sell Papa John's.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's funny. I always like the Gasparilla Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Which
Bad
is,
Boy Mowers.
Yeah, Bad Boy Mowers. So I think like just mayo, very divisive just in general, right?
Well,
just divisive condiment gets people talking.
When they were named the sponsor, I was kind of like hesitant. I was like, what are we going to do? This is too out there. And I've come to realize that it's like the perfect college football sponsor, because you're not going to convince someone who doesn't like mayonnaise to like mayonnaise.
Right.
So it's already like, you have a very dedicated audience. You're trying to convert those people. Then you're just trying to bring, like, all Dukes wants to do is have like build market share within people who like mayonnaise,
right?
So it's just brand awareness and it's just making their brand out there and having fun with it, and they've embraced it, which is awesome.
So did they have any pause? So my wife used to work in advertising in general, and she had some clients that were in the food industry just broadly speaking, and they had very strict rules about like never use the product in a way that could be like interpreted as negative. So how, like, clearly Dukes was like down with getting a little creative, but like, did they have any pause about the dump at all?
I don't think so. The answer is no, they did not. Especially like when they saw in the classic, like those guys eating mayonnaise like that.
Yeah.
They saw like the attention they got.
Yeah.
And once again, it goes back to, you're either for mayonnaise or against.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the people who are absolutely like, generally, everyone's pretty disgusted, but like the people who are horrified saying, I'm never going to eat mayonnaise again, I hate your product, they weren't going to anyway.
Right, right.
But then, like, people, like, I'm seeing stuff online where people are like, I'm going to try this now.
Yeah, totally.
And also, like, I don't know if you eat Dukes, but like, I grew up on it, and like, it's a superior product. Like, once you have it, it's better than the other stuff.
Yeah.
So,
I, Yeah, I've had it. I've had it in packets. It's always in, since I moved to Charlotte, whenever you get like catered lunches, the packets are always Duke's.
I'll give you a jar on your way out.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I'll give you
it's
my.
It's an ECU App State jar.
Oh, delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mayo doesn't go bad, so.
No,
you,
really,
you've been
I
keeping
mean,
outside.
It's under the year. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. So, I'm not a big mayo guy, but I appreciate its place.
Yeah, I use it. I don't go mayo by itself a lot. I do like outside of grilled cheeses. It's awesome. You know that trick, right?
Yeah.
And then tomato sandwiches like that. Yeah. To me, that's like the best food in the world is like a tomato sandwich in the summer at the beach, like that specific moment, like at lunch. And then like making like sauces and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. BLTs for me is probably like my most frequent mayo situation.
Yeah. No, it was I don't know how we top it. It's like one of those, like that's what I started saying is like now great. The expectations keep rising every year for the game. And it's not.
Well, because you can't just like do the same thing next year just because the novelty is off
just,
a little bit, right?
Yeah. And it's a very interesting part about my work because like that's the game. I mean, I have free reign to do whatever we want, but then right before that next year will be the Jumpman Invitational, which will be very like, I will not manage the social media. It will be Jordan Brand people, I imagine,
right.
Like, and very professional.
People way,
very,
way cooler than you.
Oh my God. You have no idea. John, you
they have must
no
have the coolest glasses. They must all wear the coolest glass, like non-prescription glasses.
They did this. Yeah, they're way cooler. They're supposed to be coming on a site visit soon, and like,
yeah.
I'm terrified.
Oh my God,
they're
gonna
be pick
so
up
cool.
So many.
They're gonna make fun of your shoes so bad.
No, I got Jordans, man.
They're still going to make fun of your shoes so bad.
Oh, gosh, I'm terrified.
They'll like they'll pretend like they're impressed, but they'll be like, oh my God.
I'll just go with my Blazer lows. That's what I generally wear. I feel like it's a good vibe for me.
They're gonna. Oh my God, they're gonna be so cool.
I know. No, they are really cool. all right. So is that enough mayo talk? Do you have any questions I missed out on?
No, that's the behind
well,
the scenes.
I mean, also,
I
like, we did the Jimmy Lee Kirkpatrick stuff. That was really... I got
oh,
to, like,
yeah, we should mention
I got
that.
To, like, stand with Jimmy before we went on
yeah,
the
Yeah, I saw that picture. That was super cool.
Yeah, we spent 5 minutes just talking about it. And
yeah. I mean, wait, so I think we've mentioned it before, but...
We did. My boss, Danny, came to me and said we should do a high school football award, said we should name it after Jimmy Lee. We're able to announce it. We had a trophy. Dr. Pepper is... really awesome and gave $10,000 to a kid for a scholarship. And then also all 18 other kids got $500 scholarships. So
that's
what
awesome.
We did was Jimmy came out and it's really kind of, you know, his story. He left Charlotte and kind of never came back. Went to Purdue, blew his knee out, never came back, never played another football game like here.
Yeah.
So his like last game was Myers Park High School and then doesn't make the Shrine Bowl. And then all that stuff happened. And then I got to be like be in the tunnel with him in front of like 45,000 people as he is kind of reintroduced to Charlotte. And we made sure like his story talked about all that stuff. So it was like a minute of telling Jimmy's story to all these people. And then we had the 18 semifinalists like up waving, like kind of where the military row is at Panthers game. And then we had this kid, Jeremiah, from Olympic High School. He's second generation Olympic. I think he must be a teacher. Great kid. Who out of the 19 nominees he's playing, he was nominated for the Shrine Bowl.
Awesome.
He was the inaugural Jimmy Lee Kirkpatrick Award winner. Just like I got to talk to Jimmy. Jimmy got to speak with him privately. There was like a documentary crew there. It was just like a really unique and special moment.
No, that's super cool. And like kudos to you and you guys for pulling that off. Cause I think that's such a great way to kind of honor the story and kind of keep it alive, just because I know you and I are super into that story and its importance to Charlotte.
Jimmy, but. Like, texts me now and stuff like that. And, like, texts me the night after. He's like, I still, like, I'm still in the clouds.
Oh, that's so great.
And just in, I think the thing is, like, his story is so great and he did so much through his actions. He's also just a gem of a person.
Yeah.
He's so appreciative. He brought like 10 family members.
Oh, that's so cool.
So it's that was really special and I got to be on the field for it and like I kind of stood off to myself and like it was very satisfying.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's who would have thunk in 1965 Shrine Bowl. Yeah. So there you go. 50. Is that right? Am I doing the math right? 55 years later.
Yeah.
56. Anyway,
something like that.
Yeah, somewhere around there. Well, super cool. There you go. And that's going to be an annual thing. That wasn't one time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's going to be an annual thing, which is super, like, awesome. And I usually am not a big, like, sponsors are great, but, like, the fact that Dr. Pepper did that and
yeah.
put a significant amount of energy into it is awesome.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome. Well, let's put a cap on the 2021 Duke's Mayo Bowl. Sounds like you guys have
35 minutes.
35? Is that what you're going for? I told you we didn't need more topics.
I do want to do Charlatans of the Year. Were you able to come up with three?
Okay, yeah, I have some.
All right. So these are people we think, we're saying Charlotte Magazine, when they come out with Charlatans of the Year, it's usually like 7 or 8, 10.
Yeah.
That we think these are people who have a chance of getting it.
Yep.
First off for me is StarMed Health. I think that's a shoo-in.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think that what they're doing in the community, probably the most proactive public health agency right now.
Yeah.
I think they have a really...
Certainly, like, making an effort to meet people where they are.
Yeah.
And kind of get creative. Like, the times call for creativity, and they're kind of...
They're
answering the bell, I feel like.
They're like filling the cracks. Like,
yeah.
There's some massive cracks in our healthcare system.
Yeah.
And like StarMed's like attempting to service the people who
yeah.
fall through.
And it's not always. And it's not that they're doing something that no one else is doing necessarily. They're just like getting creative and kind of like making a difference in a way that is just positive in the community. So yeah. I think that's a great.
What about you?
Great call. All right, I'm going to go the opposite of what you're talking about. I think when you look at next year, like, there's no way you can't make David Tepper, like, Charlatan of the Year with just, like, they're going to launch a new soccer team and something's going to happen with the new Panther Stadium,
yeah.
hopefully in a good way, and just kind of his whole entertainment district that it sounds like it's kind of coming to a head just with like city planning and everything. And they're trying to like strong arm the price and all that good stuff. So anyway, so I think it's such a pivotal year coming up for Charlotte sports that I don't think David Tepper just kind of looms very large over all of it. So
I'm going to stick with Charlotte sports and okay. say Mike Hill, athletic director of Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Yes.
Wait, is it Charlotte University? What are we supposed to say?
I don't know.
University of Charlotte?
No,
just Charlotte.
Charlotte. The 49ers. I always like to say
yeah?
just the 49ers.
Wait, so why? So what are they doing that's so special?
I think that athletic department has changed completely in the past 4 years.
Okay.
I think you'll see. I think there's more enthusiasm around the athletic department. And for no reason, I'm not saying like I know something or if like I've seen something. I just think he's someone who's very impressive. And if the right people take notice, he would be nominated for that. You're
okay.
staring at me like that's not a good answer.
No, I just you're teaching me something, so I'm sitting here learning. All right, so mine are like big names that are kind of bold bets to be recognized. John Lewis, CEO of Katz.
Oh, I just thought of one. I have an addendum to my, I don't have a fourth.
Okay, that's fine. So John Lewis, CEO of Katz, I think. You got the Gateway Station is moving right along. You got, I thought he made a bold move recently that was good. I think just yesterday where he said that, hey, he made what I think is kind of a bold admission, which was like, look, like we're not meeting the consistency of the like Gold Line mm-hmm. streetcar line. So like, we're not going to start charging for it. Like it's not this. So basically it's not operating at the efficiency and at the frequency that it should. And the plan was in January of this year, they'd start charging for it. But because of that and low ridership because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So I think it takes a leader. We'll see how it plays out to admit when they need to change a plan like that and when something isn't going well. So anyway, so I'm throwing him out there. What you got?
This is I've added this person in. I'm moving my fourth person to be just one for fun.
Okay.
My third person, he's retiring, would be Michael Marsicano from Foundation for Care.
Oh, that's good.
I think that's a good one.
That's good.
So
I thought about him. I didn't realize. I forgot that he was retiring. But yeah. Yeah, that's a good one.
And then my fourth, who was originally on the list, but I could see her not running for office or losing or just continuing. And she is the wind beneath our wings. I think she is hilarious. For what she says in meetings is Vilma Leek.
Oh. Charlatan of the Year nominee, really?
Come on the Charlotte podcast, Bill Malik.
I hope so. Hopefully, she's got plenty of time to join us on the show.
I feel like Tepper.
Third co-host.
I feel like Tepper, Marsicano, Starmed are all three I would bet on.
Well, there's always like somebody that has like started a nonprofit.
There's gonna be an artist.
Really cool.
I was like, I don't know enough about art. I tried to like think about Charlotte artists.
There's some cool, there's plenty of artists, but like
David French.
That actually good. Yeah, actually, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You can't choose like a person. I'll just say David French. There you go. You can't choose a person because the thing about the arts community, and maybe this is in Charlotte, is like if you name one person, like people don't interpret that as like, oh, that's nice. That person was honored. Everybody's like, why weren't all of these other people mentioned or honored? Yeah. You know, have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Like, no. I feel like that's a problem in Charlotte's art scene.
Yeah.
It's like, it's people are insulted by not being included sometimes. But
no,
anyway.
I do think that we should go back in December and or whenever the issue comes out and see if it's right. Hopefully they don't listen. But they don't. Not since they gave us a Bob. The Charlotte magazine doesn't listen to us. This won't influence them.
I have no idea. It was fun to run through the Bob episode. The times that we did that, though,
yeah,
those were good episodes.
I feel like we've cratered in terms of popularity recently. It's not. This pandemic has really taken the wind out of our sails, John.
Has it?
I don't know. It doesn't really bother me.
I don't know. We've had bigger fish to fry, my friend.
Just staying alive. cheers and jeers. Do you have any?
I'm gonna step on the cheers that I had. Which was cheers to like Katz and John Lewis for being like, mm-hmm. Hey, this thing is not going like we thought it would. So we're gonna pause on this. Oh, go ahead.
I'll have a jeer.
Okay, go.
To the lady who got on the Bishop's Ridge Facebook group and complained about the person who had their dog without a leash in the front yard who intimidated their dog. You should have said something to my face.
Oh, that was you?
I mean, one, you can attest to this. We have a geriatric dog. She doesn't run.
Yeah.
She doesn't go anywhere. She was like, I was trying to handle our toddler, and the dog was sitting on the patio.
Hmm.
And this lady posted on Facebook that there's a large dog that intimidated her dog. To me, it sounds like she's just a bad dog owner.
It sounds like a bad dog.
And also,
neurotic
could have
dog.
Just been like, hey, my dog gets intimidated. Do you mind, like, making sure you hold your dog or something? Absolutely. I understand where you're coming from.
Did this dog in question on the porch like do anything?
No. Crash was sitting on the porch. My dog.
No, I know.
No, their dog just turned and started barking at my dog, and my dog stared at it.
That doesn't seem like your fault in any way.
Yeah. I should have. And also, like, that was one of those ones where it's like, do I want to get on a Facebook group and have some fun?
You don't. I can answer that for you.
Have you done that?
No, kind of. I've like stirred the pot a little bit in my neighborhood, but
do you do it anonymously or under your name?
No, it's under my name, which is why I don't stir it as much as when I get to be anonymous. I don't know. It never ends well. Like nobody leaves that with positive feelings. I feel like
I don't know. By the way, we're in our neighborhood. You had we've talked about it. I think on the last time we recorded here, the deer, you had an encounter.
I did. I saw so many deer when I came to your house.
They're nuisances, aren't they?
You're like living in the wilderness out here.
I saw you're pulling in. There's like four deer in front of you on the road.
You basically live in a tree stand that you live in a,
I live in a neighborhood.
Four bedroom.
There's a clubhouse.
Four bed, three bath tree stand, essentially.
It is an A-frame.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, it's nice. You're one with nature out here. It's great.
Should do the backyard.
You got dogs.
We should do
deer.
A kids camp out one day. I'm going to try to get Asher into camping in the backyard, and you bring a tent over
the
boys.
Yeah.
Think
I
about
mean,
it. It's a great spot. Because
if you're signing up for that, then yeah, sure.
We'd love to host you.
Yeah, that's cool that you're as close to trees and nature out here. That's very exciting. Do you have any other wildlife other than deer to hang out?
There's some owls you'll hear early in the morning.
Yeah, I've got a cheers. I got a cheers. Mm-hmm. My is the coyotes that are in the Elizabeth neighborhood, because those MFers are some survivors. Like, to be an urban coyote is really cool. I feel like on the hierarchy of wild animals, like urban coyote. You gotta be street smart. You gotta understand traffic as well as the laws of the wild.
Yeah.
You've got to get a little creative with your sources of food. You gotta understand sheds.
Yeah.
Fences, yeah, cars, traffic patterns.
Floods. Like,
sure.
Like random flooding in a neighborhood.
Sure.
That's not natural.
You got to know about it. There's all kinds of stuff. There's just like so much terrain you need to do. They're so street smart. It's pretty impressive.
I also throw out a cheer. I think we utilize the Whitewater Center a lot in the summer, but like Whitewater Center winter, very nice.
Yeah. Did you go for the ice skating?
No, I went for like a run the other day, Friday off, and did a couple miles and didn't see another person. It was beautiful.
Really? What time of the day did you go?
1 o'clock.
PM?
Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, I saw someone when I went I literally did two. I did like the Lake Loop and then I did East Main. And anytime I was on a trail, I didn't see anybody. I just saw like people at the trailhead.
On a Friday when they had like the ice skating going in December?
It's on like the other side of property. And it's just lovely. Like I saw some deer, hung out, ran.
How long does it take you to get over there? That can't be a short drive from
30
here.
Minutes. But it's like a good investment. Like anyone who like, here's also something. If you have kids who like airplanes, it's a great airplane watching place.
Is it?
It's just in the flight path. For the airport. So it's a good investment. That's $60 a year is really good.
Oh yeah, that's definitely great. Haven't we talked about that before? We did like a gift episode, and we talked about like how that's one of the best like local gifts to give.
Yeah.
Is the parking pass, and now is the time to get it because you get to take advantage of the full year. That's actually a good reminder to this guy right here.
No, it's good. We should go out and run one day, out in the woods.
Yes, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bring our boy Phil Sanford.
Yeah, sure.
He enjoyed it when I took him to the woods. Well, you know, we won that race. You know, here's my mug that we won the race with.
Oh, yeah, that's a
says,
substantial
drink
mug.
Up, me hearties, Triple Lakes Trail Race 2021 award winner.
Congrats on your victory. We did a podcast about all your neuroses related to the competition right before that.
Yep, and Jeremy brought it up immediately, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Or Phil, one of them did, but we won.
Well, good. Congratulations.
Thank you, John. We should end on that.
All right.
Shall we woo?
Yeah, we should. The Hornets just won, so yes, we should.
This Lamella guy might be good.
I think so.
One,
I think you're right.
1, 2, 3.
Woo!
The Charlotte Podcast is a member of the Queen City Podcast Network, powered by Ortho Carolina. Find out more at queencitypodcastnetwork.com.